We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Room anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a girl?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Got the cameras, I'm out
the angry. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, USA.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday. Back to the work week.
Back to the work week, man. You know, last night on Instagram, I posted, you know, these two-day weekends are starting to feel like 30-minute lunch breaks. That's really how they starting to feel, bro.
They are.
I feel like we just left here.
Yeah.
Can we get 3 days?
Actually, I just had 3 days, so I can't.
You had like four.
No, I left on Thursday. I had Friday off.
We need like three. We gotta change these things in America. We've been doing the same system for a long time. I don't know how long. I've only been here for 43 years, but I feel like they've been doing it before us, too.
Mm-hmm.
The two-day weekend thing. It's time to expand that.
Time to expand and make it 3 days.
Just give us a day. Give us an extra day. You know what I mean?
A lot of work to get done.
Everything can start on Tuesday. Tuesday to Friday is fine, don't you think?
I saw somebody say,
when I posted that, somebody said, well, if you was a real entrepreneur and you was a boss like Dame Dash said, then you know
you
have an extra day. Entrepreneurs got to get up and go to work on Monday too, sir.
I'm not going to lie. I did have off on Friday. And when I tell you Friday, I feel like everybody was texting me about different things about work. I was stressed out, even though I had the day off. I was like, I just need a moment. I just need a minute. It is actually really hard being, you actually work like 24/7.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it never stops.
Even if
you're an entrepreneur. If you're an entrepreneur, I feel like you got to work harder.
I wake up in the morning to messages. At night before I go to bed, I got to clear everything out. Everything is nonstop.
Nah, it's definitely nonstop. I was in the office all day Saturday. Of course, it's tax season, so I got to prepare the taxes and get everything right for taxes. So.
Just don't pay them.
Huh?
Terrible idea.
What?
I just wanted to see how you fix it.
What?
IRS, I'm playing, guys and gals over there.
That was literally Kelvin. Okay.
And then you know how you get all those forms in the mail that look like it's a check, but it's really for your taxes?
Man. Rashawn Casey said he's paying his taxes soon.
You ain't got no choice. You better.
Jeez.
Nothing worse than getting that letter in the mail from the IRS. You don't know what it's for.
Lord have mercy. Well, we're here, okay?
Oh,
great problems to have. Happy Monday, everybody.
That's right. Well, today, Kimberly Jones will be joining us.
Oh, man.
She's an activist and author. She
has
a book, How We Can Win.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll kick it with her in a
little bit. Kim is all energy. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Kim is a spirit. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Bullworth, but in the movie Bullworth, the displaced man tells Bullworth, don't be no ghost. You got to be a spirit.
Mm.
Kimberly Jones is a spirit. You hear me?
You know, over the weekend, I told y'all I was on a plane and I seen In the Heights, which is it's a musical, and I thought I thought my kids would love it, so I sat them all down. I ordered it. That movie was expensive too; it was $14, but I ordered it. I sat them all down. Within 5 minutes, they looked at me like, nah, this ain't for me, Dad. So I just had to watch it again by myself.
Oh. I never saw it.
It was pretty good. I thought it was good.
Well, shout out to Lin-Manuel Miranda and Anthony Ramos.
Yeah, I thought it was great, actually. But my kids, I don't think they understood it yet. They're kind
of
young.
Why they don't like their own people, man? Isn't a lot of Dominicans in that movie?
My kids are not Dominican, but...
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
What is up with you, man?
What is up with you?
Are they daddy Dominican, but they not Dominican?
Their daddy's
this
not
is
Dominican.
Wild.
No, their daddy's
come
not
on,
Dominican.
Come on, man, bro. Come on, you could have been on Power, bro, playing one of Monet's... Baby daddies, bro. Stop it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Knock it off.
Let's get this show
knock
cracking.
It off, bro.
Front page news, what we talking about?
All right. Well, let's talk about President Joe Biden. On Thursday, he is asking for greater investments in local police departments alongside social services. We'll tell you what he has to
say. I told y'all that was coming.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You know those links they sent, I would say maybe about 2-3 weeks ago, that if you fill out this link, they'll send you a free at-home COVID test?
Yes.
Yeah, well, those COVID tests, did y'all get them? They starting to come in now.
I didn't.
You got yours, Nick? Yeah, I got mine.
I have some at home already, so.
I don't pay attention to no packages that come to my house.
Yeah, I purchased some of those, too.
I'm sure they did, though.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get in some front page news. Now, the Pro Bowl was over the weekend. Did anybody watch it? Did you guys watch?
No, I saw Deion Sanders complaining about the fact that nobody takes the Pro Bowl serious anymore. And back in the day, back in his day, it was a privilege and an honor to be there. And, you know, they used to go there and actually play.
Yeah, that's when it was in Hawaii. I never really watched the Pro Bowl, though. It was never, I don't know. But the AFC beat the NFC 41-35. What else we got, Yeezy?
Well, let's talk about Joe Biden. On Thursday, he was calling for greater investments in local police departments. And also social services. In a visit to New York City, he said, we are not about defunding the police. We're about funding. And he also rejected the defund the police idea that had been pushed. He's also pushing this five-part plan that was unveiled in June that sought to stem the flow of firearms and also invest in police resources. Right now, Republicans are saying that Democrats are weak on crime. And this is all before the midterm elections in November. So here is what Joe Biden is asking for from Congress.
It's time to fund community policing to protect and serve the community. I'm also calling for increased funding for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the U.S. Marshals offices. I'm confident if we fund these programs, we'll see a reduction in violence.
They're also asking for new efforts to crack down on ghost guns. Those are unregistered and untraceable homemade weapons that can be made with a 3D printer. So right now they're saying with more guns than people, the U.S. is by far the most heavily armed society in the world, and sales to first-time buyers skyrocketed in 2020.
Well, a new crime bill on the way, guaranteed. It won't be called a crime bill, but it'll have all the makings of a crime bill because Joe Biden is a notorious tough-on-crime politician. And with violent crime rising the way it is in America, you know that's coming. But what is community policing? That's what I want to know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who are community activists that actually have a lot of programs to get mm-hmm. guns off the street. And
like Erica Ford?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So more investments into that because a lot of people do that work with investments from the community or for free. Mm. So now let's use some of that money. And that is kind of what defunding the police was, right? Actually taking some of the money that goes to the police department and putting it toward these services mm-hmm. and people who are doing the work.
That is defunding. That's exactly what defunding the police is. Yes.
All right. Now, Eric Adams, in the meantime, the mayor of New York City, has apologized after an old clip resurfaced where he was recorded saying that he was a superior cop compared to his colleagues. This was at a private Harlem Business Alliance event back in 2019, and he actually called some of his colleagues crackers.
He did nothing wrong. What did he do wrong?
I apologize. Inappropriate comments should not have been used. Someone asking me a question using that comment and playing on that word, I responded in that comment.
All right, do you want to hear the original statement? Here's what he said originally.
Every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass, man. I was unbelievable in the police department when you keep running black to law enforcement. Came a sergeant, a lieutenant, and a captain. You know the story. Some people all of a sudden trying to reinvent me. But the reality is, what I was then is who I am now.
I can't tell anyone how to react to anyone's words. If you are offended, hey, man, you have every right to be. But if you ask me, I don't think Eric Adams did anything wrong other than pronounce cracker wrong. Okay, he said it too proper.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let him hear how he should actually say it, Red.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Red.
Cracker ass, cracker!
There you go, man. If you gonna say it, you gotta lay it out there. That was 2 years ago. That was the gentrified version of cracker.
Yeah, three years ago. All right,
3 years
now,
ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, one Navy SEAL candidate died and a second was in the hospital after getting sick just hours after they successfully completed the Hell Week test that ends the first phase of assessment and selection for Navy commandos. According to the Navy, on Saturday, they were both rushed to the hospital. They said neither one had experienced an accident or an unusual incident during the 5.5-day Hell Week. This is part of a class that includes basic underwater demolition, survival, and other combat tactics. It's in the fourth week as SEAL candidates are being assessed, and they're hoping to be selected for training within the Naval Special Warfare Basic Training Command. So one of them died and the other was in stable condition. The cause of death was not immediately known and was under investigation. Now, it was unclear from the autopsy report, but one of them, they're saying, revealed that Lovelace, he's the one that had an enlarged heart that contributed to his death, and that he also had an abnormal coronary artery that had been associated with sudden cardiac death. A lot of times that happens with athletes. So...
yeah, that was very sad. They need to get rid of that Hell Week. They're saying only 25% of the SEALs actually make it through, finish the task that they're supposed to do. And if only 25% can finish that task, wouldn't they take the task away?
So
that's
they said the program is so grueling, at least 50 to 60% don't make it through Hell Week when they're pushed to the limit.
So it's like when college kids are trying to join a fraternity or sorority, that's what that's like?
I don't think it's actually it's like that, yeah.
Mm. I don't mean exactly like it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but it's
like
a tough
hazing, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but it's not hazing. Yeah, yeah. But I guess it's a tough week of things that they have to do. But if 25% only make it through, why continue to do it?
Yeah, that's wild.
Now we're doing it for issues and giggles. Like, you know, it's no sense.
When you say make it through, you mean like they actually die?
No. I mean finish the task.
Finish
the task.
Okay.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up. Phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who this?
What's up? This is Big Stan on the 313.
What's up, brother?
What's
Detroit?
Up, Big Stan?
What's up, Charlamagne? What's up, DJ Envy? Hey, you was talking about that Navy SEAL. God bless those troops that lost their lives. But you want the best of the best, man. I'm a 20-year-plus veteran of the United States Army. I understand it's nothing like hazing in college. It's nothing like that. You want the. It's only 1% of the population that's in the military. You need the best of the best. The 1% of the 1% to be the best of the best.
You know what's crazy? Soon as we finished the break, that's what I said. I was like, yo, man, isn't that good? Like, don't you want the best? Like you said, don't you want the best of the best?
Yeah, but you don't want them to die. You know, like she reported.
Of course you don't want them to.
2016, somebody died. Like, you don't, you know, if they causing that, you don't want them to die. I know you want the best of the best, you know?
True story, but you that's the fighting edge of the sport, man. Mm-hmm. That's middle of the night. You want the best warriors, man. You can't have subpar warriors.
Okay. Well, thank you, brother.
All right, boss. Have a great day.
Have a good one. Hello, who's this?
My name is Ron. I'm from California, visiting home in Philadelphia. Love your show.
Hey, Ron.
How are you, Ron?
I'm great. I've been listening to Charlamagne probably since in the late 90s when he was here on the Wendy Williams show.
That was not the late 90s, sir.
That was not the late 90s.
That was like 06.
Nah, we go with the 80s.
2006.
Pardon me. You know, I'm an older gentleman. Time really goes fast for me.
Yes.
Anyway, listen, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your news and political commentary. I've probably been listening for maybe 7-8 years now. I think you guys are highly underrated as interviewers, and I just want you to know that there are people like me that listen and who appreciate the probing questions you ask. Now, my pitch is I'm hoping I can get Charlamagne to, I'm a retired school teacher. I'm hoping I can get Charlamagne to take a look, or have somebody in his organization look at my memoir. I'd like to see if I can get that published. Can you give me some contact information?
Absolutely. I'm gonna put you on hold. I'm definitely looking for new material for Black Privilege Publishing.
Hold on, okay?
Oh, that's great. Thank you guys. I appreciate you all.
Hold on 1 second.
He's on line 10.
Get his email, Eddie.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Solo.
Solo, what up? Get it off your chest.
Yo, I wanted to talk to you about that Hell Week, the topic you were saying this morning.
Go ahead, brother.
I was hearing how you were saying, you know, only 25% make it. But that's a program in itself that only wants a certain amount. It's not for everybody to come through, you know, and be able to make it.
Gotcha.
And while, yeah, not everybody makes it, you know, they only looking for the best of the best. You know, that can't be everybody, you know.
I got you.
Right.
That's true.
I ain't want to get too much more on my chest, man. I'm going to shout out to you guys, man. DJ Envy, Charlamagne, Athlete, man. I listen to y'all every morning on the way to work, man.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
You have a good one.
You too.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is 11-year-old DJ Marley.
Hey, 11-year-old DJ Marley.
Why are you up this time of morning,
it's
DJ
time
Marley?
To school.
I mean, I actually wanted to talk about something really important.
Okay, we're ready.
Go ahead.
The price of lunch has increased at your school, hasn't it?
No, I actually wanted to talk about this organization called Girls Make Beats that helps girls around the world who want to learn how to produce, who want to be DJs, anything really in the music business.
Oh, that's amazing.
I like that.
How do you join the program?
Well, they have a scholar, and you can reach out to them on either Instagram or you can... email them and they'll talk to you and you can get involved in it.
So you make beats?
Yes, I do.
And you DJ.
And you DJ.
That's right.
What's the give them the Instagram page, DJ Marley.
It's Girls Make Beats.
My Instagram page
is DJ Marley 954.
And how old are you?
11.
So you starting to DJ parties and stuff?
Actually, I DJ for the Miami Heat and the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh, okay. Tell them don't play with you. Tell them don't play with you, Marley.
Now, let me
tell
ask you this.
Tell this little envy to sit down somewhere.
Is this an organization that Stitches is involved with?
Yes.
Okay, I actually did something with you guys previously. Shout out to Stitches.
Yeah, shout out to Stitches.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Well, Marley, salute to you. I love your energy. I love your style. I love the fact that you woke up this morning and decided to call the Breakfast Club to market, you know, Girls Make Beats. Salute to you. You on the right track, queen.
Have a good morning.
You too.
Shout out to Stitches out in Miami if you want to get into some of those programs where she gives back, whether it's the DJing program and she's helping students get through college. She's helping pay for their books and helping pay for some of their living arrangements. Definitely check out Stitches. You have Stitches Instagram?
Is Marley in? Yes. I wonder if DJ Marley's in Miami.
954.
So yeah, 954 sounds like Fort Lauderdale. Well,
DJ AO, why you don't have DJ Marley on the radio station on 103.5 The Beat in Miami? Stuff like that is just no-brainers to me.
All right. Well, Stitches Instagram is S-T-I-C-H-I-Z, Stitches.
And shout out to Stitches. At the car show, we gave away a bunch of money to a bunch of students. So
give DJ Marley a
Wait, hold on. Let me make sure that's her
mix
page.
Show a week on 103.5 The Beat in Miami. Groom the next generation of DJs and radio personalities. Do we still do that in this business?
No.
All right. Well, I love that Stitches is doing big things. And she's been working
salute
on this
Stitches.
Girls Make Beats for years. So
salute to you, Stitches.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Clark from 302.
Clark, what up? Get it off your chest, brother.
How you doing, DJ MV? Show me.
Peace, King.
Great.
Hey, I just want to say, I thank y'all. Y'all helped me. I lost my vision a year and a half ago. And this is your rails to help me get through my mental depression state.
Damn. Well, we glad we could help, my brother.
Absolutely, brother.
We appreciate you.
I lost one eye, but one eye just came back 2 months ago. So
won't he do it?
Yes, he will. God will do it, you know, my life, but I'm stupid. And Charlamagne, I just want to ask you, I've been asking for a whole week, and I'm talking about to get some books.
We're going to send you some books. Charlamagne going to send you some hats and whatever else he got back there.
Hold on now. You can read? Because ain't like...
He got one eye.
Oh, you say y'all?
I got one eye.
His vision came back.
And you got Audible.
I got it. That's fine. I'm good there. I can see a little bit, but I'm just dying to read some books.
I'll send you a pack. I got a pack. I send you the Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health, and I send you Anita Kopach Shallow Waters. I send them to you right now.
You hold on, brother, all right?
Y'all going to be blessed. Thank you.
800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way?
Yes, and Envy, I know you could relate to this, but we'll tell you a former NBA player actually pooped in the bed, and it was caught on camera.
I ain't pooping the bed.
I ain't never pooping no bed, man.
No bed.
I ain't never even had the dream. You know, you had a dream that you pee in the bed. I ain't never had no dream that I was pooping in my bed.
Y'all have sharded, though.
Yeah, I've sharded,
but okay. That's different.
There you go.
But not in the bed. He pooped. Well, we'll get to it next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
You said what?
Nothing.
That ain't what he said.
It's not? What you say?
You said what now?
He sounds like, it could give me what you need.
I ain't hear no N-words in that song.
All right.
You just making stuff up about people.
I just asked.
You said your ass?
Wow.
You guys hear the craziest things, man. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Lamar Odom.
Listen up.
This just in. All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Lamar Odom is one of 11 contestants. It's the third season of Celebrity Big Brother. And in this latest episode, there was a moment that was caught on the show's live feed where he actually pooped in the bed. Listen to this.
It sounds like you're scrubbing vigorously.
I am.
That's good.
I just let the world know I just took a shit in my bed.
No, you didn't.
I did. I had to clean it up. Right in the world.
Did Tajik hear you?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's not going to help you get Chloe back. I tell you that much.
Not at all.
Well, he posted what happened on his Instagram. He put, "Ish happens. My manager calls me a ish show for a reason. I actually suffer from lactose intolerance and IBS. So last night's late night snack on Big Brother of beef jerky sticks, candy, and warm milk was a stomach ache waiting to happen."
My God, Lamar. What the hell?
"My fart turned sharp and bam, I'm on TMZ. The good thing is it didn't happen during a competition. The bad thing is Pepto-Bismol hasn't reached out to me for an endorsement yet."
Yeah, I'm lactose intolerant too. I don't have no IBS, but I don't drink milk at all. But I still have never sharted in the bed.
Lactose intolerant or not, that's a terrible combination. Beef jerky sticks and warm
disgusting.
Milk.
Disgusting. When candy. You said it, it's like, oh my God. How dare he?
That's nasty.
I've never sharted in the bed. Have I sharted in the car while driving? Yes.
Me too.
Never in the bed.
Are you trying to fart, shart, shame him in the bed? So it's okay to shart other places.
I just never did it in the bed.
Yeah, I just don't see how you do it in the bed.
I did it up here one time. I did it in the car one time.
I mean, it could happen if you're just doing it sitting here at work.
But when you're in the bed, though, you can rush to get to the bathroom. In the car, I was really, like, trapped in the car.
But I feel like the point of sharting is you think it's a fart.
That's no, what? I knew I had to go. Oh, I thought farting was going to relieve a little bit of the pressure. And so when I let that little poof out, I was like, oh. And then it was followed by something warm and ready.
I thought it was gas. That's what I thought it was. I knew it wasn't no poop or diarrhea. I thought it was gas.
No, I knew I had to poop. But I thought that I could fart and just relieve a little bit of tension. That's what I thought.
I was peeing up here and I tried a little gas and it wasn't gas. Mm. And I just had to take my boxes off and...
Oh, that happened here?
Yeah, I threw them out.
Oh, wow.
You sound fascinated.
Like, no, I remember there was always this story about, people thought Envy was up here doing things he had no business doing with somebody.
What?
I'm just playing.
What are you talking about?
You just making stuff up.
All right, now, Wendy Williams
up stories about us. That's
has asked
the
judge to unfreeze her Wells Fargo account that has several $1 million in it. Now, she's been locked out of that account for 2 weeks, according to court records. Her petition said she suffered imminent and irreparable financial damage as a result. And so they have not immediately responded to an email request for comment at Wells Fargo, but they're saying that they said the agreement with Wendy Williams allowed it to pause or reject instructions for a proposed transaction if the company suspects financial exploitation, dementia, or undue influence, according to the petition. And so the petition, I guess, means that they can actually just cut off her access to her bank account.
I'm definitely sending Wendy healing energy. That's not the way I want that story to end. You know what I mean? For somebody who's had the career that she has, she deserves to, go out a different way. But, who am I to say that?
I'm not mad at that, though. They're protecting her assets and making sure that she's okay before they release any money. I'm not mad at that. They're not spending her money. It's not like they're saying, hey, you can't have it. They're just saying, we want to make sure you're okay and it's not somebody else spending your money that's not supposed to be spending.
Yeah, clearly somebody knows something that we don't. You know what I mean? Clearly there's more to the story that we don't know.
I'm not mad at that.
All right, well, that is your rumor report.
And I really just keep thinking about the fact that, if people think me and Envy got something going on, right? And then they find dirty underwear up here. Just imagine a custodian that listens to this show and then they find a pair of dirty drawers. They're like, I don't know what they got going on. Can you imagine?
No. And then you talk about it on the air. It's like a cover-up in case it ever comes out to get ahead of the story.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Imagine that.
Oh, my God, man.
Right. Oh. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Happy Monday. Did you not think about that?
No, I didn't think about that.
You should have put it in a bag or something. You just don't throw it in the trash. Somebody just find a pair of dirty underwear.
Nobody should be in the trash, bro.
Why wouldn't they be?
I put it in the bottom.
I don't know, man.
They're like, who changed a baby in here?
And why is a baby wearing grown drawers? Lord have mercy.
You guys are crazy. All right, man. Front page news is next.
Last
the Breakfast
time I
Club.
Saw something like this when I was cleaning up at Rikers.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
The General Insurance is a quality insurance company that has been saving people money for nearly 60 years. What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy, and you should take a closer look at The General. Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, Pro Bowl. All right, was this weekend. Did any of y'all see it? Watch it?
Never. Yeah. I haven't watched the Pro Bowl in years, sadly. I don't think they do a good job marketing the Pro Bowl. And, no. I mean, also, we know that the players go there and don't really
They don't really
care.
Tackle
so what's the point
like
of watching
that,
the game?
Exactly. Well, the AFC beat the NFC 41-35. Now, what else we got, Yeezy?
All right. Well, Mark Zuckerberg's Meta is adding a feature now, and that is to combat virtual reality harassment. And this is after a woman says she was virtually gang raped in the metaverse. The feature is called Personal Boundary. That will prevent other users' avatars from invading your avatar's personal space. So it's going to be rolled out starting on Friday. So if somebody tries to enter your personal boundary, the system will halt their forward movement as they reach that boundary. They said, we believe personal boundary is a powerful example of how VR has the potential to help people interact comfortably. It'll kick in if other users come within about 4 feet of each other.
So it's like social distancing. So basically, you still got a social distance on in the metaverse.
Yes, you can be like, stop, don't invade my personal space.
But the metaverse, I thought, is your character or avatar
avatar
you make up, though, right? You can make it up, right? So you could give yourself, like, extra strength and things like that, right? Am I wrong? Because it's not real.
What are you talking about? So you can push through the boundary? Nah, is that what you're talking about?
But like, let's say we in the metaverse and you try to sexually assault me, right? I should have enough power where I could beat your ass up.
Man, shut up, man.
It is.
But he shouldn't. But now with this personal boundary, that he won't even be able to come within 4 feet of you to even be able to do that.
Gotcha.
Don't be a virtual rape apologist.
Because you can make up whatever you need. I could be strong. I could kick, run. Right?
Don't be a virtual rape apologist. Respect people's boundaries.
I'm just asking.
But in that case, he could overpower you, right?
I don't know. But then I could overpower him.
Listen, all we know is if people are uncomfortable with avatars.
I don't know how it works. I'm just asking.
But doesn't that defeat the purpose of the metaverse? Though I thought the purpose was to all congregate amongst each other.
Well, you don't have to activate your personal boundaries. Somebody, if you're comfortable with somebody, you can let them in, but you don't have to just allow anybody in your personal space.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be nuanced.
I wish that existed in real life.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be nuanced, right? Like, there's certain people you can keep away from you and there's certain people you can bring in. I would assume.
If I know you, I'm like, okay, you can come in my personal space. All right, now, hundreds have taken to the streets of downtown Minneapolis Saturday afternoon, many of them carrying signs saying Black Lives Matter and Fry Light, a mayor died. This is after a mayor, Locke, 22 years old, was fatally shot by a Minneapolis police SWAT team executing a no-knock warrant. So, apparently, Amir Locke had nothing to do with anything. He was on his couch under the cover sleeping, and the police busted in using one of those key fobs, and he jumped up. He had a gun, and they shot him. But he had nothing to do with anything. So they're still doing these no-knock warrants in Minneapolis. They said the same judge who presided over Derek Chauvin's trial signed the no-knock warrant that led to Amir Locke's death. According to reports, Judge Peter Cahill is the one who signed off on the warrant, which is currently sealed. And so here is Amir Locke's family speaking out.
This is very, very detrimental and heart-wrenching and hard. I should be able to tell my son that I love you and he says I love you too. But now I have to do that in spirit. That's not right. I believe that he was executed by the MPD, and I want the police officer that murdered my son to be prosecuted and fired.
The city identified the officer as Mark Hanneman, but they gave no other information about him on a public data page set up by the city.
I don't feel enough noise around this story. I don't feel enough noise around this situation. You know, have we become numb to police killings? Is everybody exhausted because this happens, you know, so much and we just don't know what to do anymore? Like, what's going on?
Well, that's why we want to make sure we report these stories as we hear them.
And you said it was the wrong house?
He was the wrong person. I don't know. We don't have all the information on who it was. There's other reports saying that a person that was of interest lived in that house, but we just know it was not Amir Locke. He had nothing to do with it. We do know.
Yeah, you can't just say my bad after you take a life. You know,
and we've already
mean?
Said that no-knock warrants are terrible. Look at what happened to Breonna Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and his gun was licensed.
Yeah, it's
for anybody, it was licensed. He had a concealed carry permit for his weapon.
And I don't understand why people act like if somebody just randomly busts into your house and you're not expecting them, you're not going to go grab your weapon. That's
absolutely
the whole point of having a weapon.
Absolutely.
City where George Floyd was killed also. Let's remember that, too.
It's just strange to me that there's no malpractice when it comes to law enforcement. That's what it feels like. It feels like there's no malpractice when it comes to law enforcement. Because you should not be able to make a mistake like this and, you know, there'd be no consequences to your action.
All right. Well, we'll keep you updated and make sure we keep on discussing Amir Locke. And that is your front page news.
So sad. All right. Well, what are we talking about, Yee? What you want to get into?
What are we talking about? All right. So we are talking about this this post that happened. Nowadays, healthy, Kiara Sherrod said this. Nowadays, healthy boundaries seem like insecurity and distrust to some. I'm blessed to have a husband and friends who I trust. My family and friends are most welcome in my home and they know who they are. But she also says that she has a preference of friends staying in a hotel versus in the home that she shares with her husband. And so do we have that audio? Yes. No.
Yeah, we have it.
Okay.
I know you said you're really close with your mom, and I know she gives you advice. And there's like an ongoing rule. My mom tells me the same thing. I'm not married, but once you're married, do not let another woman into your household.
Absolutely, Tashara. My mama has already, don't have too many people around you. Don't get comfortable. I don't care how, you know, good you trust or whatever it is. I'm very mindful and very careful. I will buy a friend a hotel room before I let them stay at my house. However, I am a prayerful woman to discern the space that I am in.
So what is the question?
And that was a shout out to Tashara from Page Six, who was asking that question in her interview.
Yeah, shout out to Tashara. Mm-hmm. What's the question?
So the question is, how do you feel about letting your best friend stay in the house with your significant other? Do you think that's uncomfortable? Would you feel like your friend has to get a hotel room? Or are you like, I trust everybody, you can all stay in the house together, even if I'm not there?
If they're my friend and I call them friend, I don't have a problem.
I wonder why you would ever be not there.
If you have to go to work, that happens to me all the time. I have friends staying with me, then I got to go to work. My boyfriend's in town staying there too. Then what?
If they're your friend, I wouldn't have a problem. My friends had spent the night at my house when I had to leave, and I didn't have a problem or felt away. I actually felt bad for them because I knew my kids were going to jump on them in the morning. But other than that, Well, let's talk about it. 800-585-1051. What are your thoughts on this? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we were talking about what, Yeezy?
We were talking about Kiara Shirt. She was doing an interview with Tashara Jones from Page Six of the New York Post, and she was discussing not having her best friend stay in the house with her husband. Here's what she said.
I know you said you're really close with your mom, and I know she gives you advice, and there's like an ongoing rule. My mom tells me the same thing. I'm not married. But once you're married, do not let another woman into your household.
Absolutely, Tashara. My mama has already, look, don't have too many people around you. Don't get comfortable. I don't care how, you know, good you trust or whatever it is. I'm very mindful and very careful. I will buy a friend a hotel room before I let them stay at my house. However, I am a prayerful woman to discern the space that I am in.
Now, she's talking about healthy boundaries. And she said it should not seem like insecurity and distrust.
Well, Listen, that's her boundary. You know, it's interesting, right? I respect her boundary. I think folks would say if you truly trust everyone, it shouldn't matter. But I don't think trust has anything to do with it. It's just whatever makes you comfortable. Like my wife and, you know, my homegirls, they stay over. Back in the day when we was all on the grind, I've stayed with my homegirls. My homegirls have stayed with me. So I don't see the issue. But that's Kira's boundary. So, you know, I respect to her.
I guess your house, your rules.
Yeah, are your life your boundaries?
Yeah, because I don't have a problem. I've had my friends spend the night, but I call them friends for a reason. Those are my friends. There's certain people that I know that if they had a problem or they want to spend the night, maybe they got drunk or maybe we was just late. Yeah, they could spend the night. And if I had to leave, I feel comfortable them with my crib.
I think it also depends on how big your space is. Because if you have like a studio or a one bedroom, it could be uncomfortable to have too many people and no privacy. And it depends on how well they know each other. If you're not at the house and say, you know, your friend is not like super tight with your man, that might be uncomfortable for both of them to be in. I wouldn't even want to stay in the house, you know, overnight if my friend wasn't there, if her husband her man was there. It would make me uncomfortable. Like, I don't, you know.
I mean, that's the most important thing, right? Because it's like, if the people that come to my house are like my actual friends that I call family. So that means they not just my friend, they're my wife's friend. Or they're not just my wife's friend, they're my friend. We known them for a long time. We trust each other. We probably vacation together. So it's just like, yeah, I'm not leaving. Why would the person that I don't even really know wouldn't even be at my house anyway?
That's my whole thing. Like, my friends come to my house. Like, I don't have to be home. And my friends will go to my kids' games. They'll go drop off birthday gifts. They'll come play with the kids. They'll go shoot hoops with my kids. Like, my friends come over the house. So it's never a problem. If they spend a night, they spend a night. Like, even if it was a one bedroom, if it was a studio, it didn't matter. They're my friends. I look at my friends as family.
And I like that kind of stuff, to be honest with you. I'd rather you stay with us than get a hotel. Like, nah, stay with us. I like it. I like kicking it late with your peoples, waking up in the morning, eating breakfast. I like that kind of stuff.
I'm cool with my friends' husbands, but some of them I'm not like, you know, don't know them like that, where I've been staying in their house. I really don't stay at people's houses anyway, but I will say my best friend, her boyfriend, who's now her husband, he used to stay at our house all the time when we were roommates. And so, that's like my family too, but only because he used to stay at our house all the time, so I know him so well. I'd be going to the kitchen, he'd be in the kitchen. We had one bathroom, so we had to share the bathroom. So sometimes, you know, that could be a little awkward, but he's definitely like family, but everybody I don't feel like that with.
Nah, my friend is Gia's friend, and Gia's friend is my friend. We all friends, so I don't have no problem with it. But
everybody's boundaries are different. I respect everybody's boundaries.
All right, let's go to the phone line. Brian, good morning.
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
How you doing,
Brian? What's up, Brian? How you doing?
I'm alright. Don't do it like that, Charlamagne.
What? That's how you sounded at first. Yeah,
you said you're not letting no friends stand around the stairway.
Y'all caught me off guard.
You caught me off guard.
Now, so you're not letting no friends stand around your man.
Hey, man. Hey, Charlamagne, I'm from South Carolina too. That's the accent breaking through.
Okay.
Don't blame that on your milk and cookies. But go ahead. What'd you say now?
You said you're not letting no friends stand around your man.
Check this out. Y'all tripping. But see, I don't want nobody around my woman because the world's so scandalous right now. You feel me? Everybody lives like, you got grown men our age is trying to be NBA young boy. These women, they want to be like women that you see on.
You're right.
Housewives, real housewives and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So why would I put myself in that position? Well, I know that everybody's mind is messed up from the media. And like Wicked is what's popping right now. Everybody want to be the devil. You feel what I'm saying? So I don't really trust people at all.
I know. We seen the movie Soul Food.
Even your close circle, though? Like, I mean, because I get what you're saying. Everything you're saying is absolutely right. But people like that you're describing aren't in my close circle.
You seen the cousin on Soul Food.
Go ahead. What you were saying, Angela?
No, I seen you seen the cousin on Soul Food. What is it? Terry's cousin on Soul Food slept with her husband.
Yeah, exactly.
But they never liked Terry though. they always already side eyed Terry. Like, we act like we don't know who these people are. Like, the people that are snakes, you know who they are.
Marcus, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Talk to us.
Yeah, I was calling in reference to y'all's question of the day, and at first I was thinking that it was a good idea to go ahead and do something like that with the significant other out of the house and a female friend in. And she decided to want to take a shower and caught me slipping. I took her towel when she asked for it. She came out of the bathroom to get it butt naked and hugged up on me. And I was like, wow. That changed my whole theory about having the significant other's friend in the house. So no, it's not a good idea at all.
Then what happened?
I walked out the room. Real talk.
Well, that's different though. She tried you. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely tried.
And how close of friends were they prior to this?
Since she was a teenager.
Damn, did you tell your wife?
Years later.
When you say since, how old were y'all when this happened?
I was in my 30s.
Damn.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
All right, brother.
He said, yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Okay.
Hey.
What's up?
You hit, didn't you? Come on, tell your Uncle Charlotte now. You ain't got to tell you hit, didn't you?
That laugh, though.
It's always that laugh with you, Angela.
Did you tell your girl?
He said, yeah.
He said years later.
Okay.
He said years later. Thank you, brother.
I don't believe him. He hit that.
800-585-1051. Would you let your best friend or your friend stay over at the crib, huh? While your husband's there, while your man's there? Call us up right now. Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. I know when
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club top.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, what are we talking about, Yeezy?
We are talking about Kiara Sherrod. She did an interview with Tashara Jones from Page Six from the New York Post, and she was talking about her preference of friends staying in a hotel versus staying in her home that she shares with her husband. Here's what she said.
I know you said you're really close with your mom, and I know she gives you advice, and there's like an ongoing rule. My mom tells me the same thing. I'm not married, but once you're married, do not let another woman into your household.
Absolutely, Tashara. My mama has already, look, don't have too many people around you. Don't get comfortable. I don't care how, you know, good you trust or whatever it is. I'm very mindful and very careful. I will buy a friend a hotel room before I let them stay at my house. However, I am a prayerful woman to discern the space that I am in.
Everybody's boundaries are different. I'm not mad at her for that. You know what I mean? Like, you got to set your own boundaries to find your own peace. That's the name of Nedra Tawab's book, right? Set boundaries, find peace. So if that's the way she finds peace and that's the boundary she wants to set, I have no problem with that.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Morning, man. It's Chris. What's going on?
Chris, what's going on, man? What's your opinion, brother?
Not much. You absolutely cannot have someone. You have to set boundaries, proper boundaries. You can't have people up in your space. It depends on who it is. I was talking to a girl one time, and it was cool. She had a friend, but I had a bad feeling about her. And I'm telling her, this is not your friend. You know, the friend would say that she saw me somewhere with someone. It's my blood sister. Mind you, I never seen this person before. But anyway, she came over, and she slept over. It was cool. You feel me? Nothing happened. No weird business. I seen the way she looked at me. Anyways, me and the girl broke up. 4 or 5 months later, I was with her friend.
Wow.
So, yep. You can't. You got to have people respect your boundaries. And I told her, I said, this person's your friend. This person's your friend. This other person, they say they're your friend, but they're not your friend.
There's the guy who smashed his girl's friend.
And this is your man, but he don't really care.
I was being petty. I had to prove a point. I didn't even like the guy.
Come on.
Goodbye. Hello, who's this?
It's
Hello.
George. What's up, Envy?
George, what's up? Talk to us. What's your thoughts, brother?
No, I ain't doing that, man. I can't trust that action, man. Even though I would trust my wife, but nah, things happen. I can't do that. Why would I not be there anyway?
Yeah, that's the only other part. I mean, Angela, you had a good example, but yeah, I don't see why you would really not be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my job to be there. Like, I can't.
But what if you have to go to work?
Yeah, what if you got to go to work or you got to run out of town or you got to do something?
Well, get up.
Where's my home?
We got to go, too.
You got to go, too?
We got to go. I'm leaving there at 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I'm leaving
there. He got to go.
All right. I'm leaving there at 5 in the morning. Let's go.
Nah, I don't bother you.
Basically, he got to go. I ain't having that, man.
Nah, because when friends come in town, they spend the night at the crib, and they might have a couple days, something to do in New York or New Jersey. I let them stay. I ain't making them come to work with me.
I don't have a lot of homeboys anyway. So, like, for me, it's like it's always a house full of women regardless. So, it's a little different, I think.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Chantel.
Hey, Chantel. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your thoughts,
mama?
I'm
shocked I got through. My thoughts is I'm agreeing with you today, Indy. I think it would just be, ain't gonna anybody stand at my house unless I really call them my friend.
That's right.
Yep.
And I would be a little offended if my friend wouldn't let me stay. Like, I go to Dallas and I stay with my friend, but if she was to get married, I would be a little offended if I couldn't stay at her house somewhere. Like,
oh, really? Come. But, I mean, that's her house. And so sometimes, you know, you got to respect that.
I get what you're saying, Angela, but, I mean, it would be the same door policy for me if she was to come to Detroit and visit me. Of course she can stay here.
I'm like, with you.
I'm married as well, so it's like, I don't know. I just think if something was to be done, it was supposed to be revealed to me in the first place.
That's right.
But I will say this, though. With myself, I have friends in different cities, and I never, even though they invite me to their crib, I always stay at a hotel.
I never stayed at anybody's house.
Yeah, I just feel comfortable staying at a hotel. But when they come here, they can stay all day long.
Now, that's back in the day. I used to stay at Debbie Deb's house all the time out in L.A. because I ain't had no money. All right.
You
so
know
that, I ain't gonna sit here and tell that lie like that.
It's crazy. Somebody was just telling me a situation where she went to go stay at her homegirl's house, but her homegirl had her man over, and she said she was just uncomfortable being there while she had her man there. Like, that's like her homegirl, but she was like, I don't want to stay there no more when her man is there. I ain't feel comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be weird if it was all the time. Like you said, if I just went to work real quick, then yeah, but if I went to work the whole weekend and you just barrel in the house with them, then yeah, it would be a little awkward.
Okay.
Especially if you're not at work.
Plus, I got real friends. I got real friends that I've known for a long time that know my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, we really came up together in a real way. So it's just different.
It depends on the circumstance.
Same thing with my wife's friends. Like, these are people that she went to college with, you know what I mean? So it's like I've known these people my whole life, damn near, at least half my life.
And also, it depends on space. Like, sometimes you want people to have space with their significant other. You're not all up in the house. And, you know, what if it's small? And then you all in their space, and, like, they might want to have some time together, and you just there.
We done did both. I done did it when it was 2-bedroom apartments, and then did it when we got houses. So it's just, I don't know. I just think it depends on the person.
All right, well, what's the moral of the story?
More of the story is respect everybody's boundaries. You know what I mean? Set boundaries, find peace, like Dr. Nedra, you know, Tawab says. Like, literally, your boundary, what brings you peace, is the boundary you need to set, period.
All right. Now we got rumors on the way?
Ooh, yes. Well, let's talk about Joe Rogan. He has apologized for repeatedly using the N-word on his show.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Happy Monday. We know the two-day weekend isn't long enough for you. Mm-hmm. We know how you feel this morning. Mm-hmm. You up, mm-hmm. barely, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. You still need to scratch a little bit. There's things cracking this morning. You hear your knees, your elbows, your back maybe. Mm-hmm. But take a deep breath for everybody who can't this morning. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way. What are we talking about?
We'll talk about Joe Rogan and the controversy surrounding him. A lot happened over the weekend, so we'll fill you in.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club. So listen up. Nah.
Well, Joe Rogan is now apologizing for his repeated use of the N-word on his Joe Rogan Experience show during several different episodes. Now, he did say that it looks horrible even to him. It's a video of clips taken out of context, he says, of him of 12 years of conversations on his podcast. It's all smushed together. And he said that most people believe there's no context where a white person is ever allowed to say that word, never mind publicly on a podcast. And he says he does agree with that now. Here is what else he had to say.
I was also talking about how there's not another word like it in the entire English language, because it's a word where only one group of people is allowed to use it, and they can use it in so many different ways. Like, if a white person says that word, it's racist and toxic, but a black person can use it, and it could be a punchline, it could be a term of endearment, it could be lyrics to a rap song, it could be a positive affirmation. It's a very unusual word. But it's not my word to use. I never use it to be racist because I'm not racist.
All right. I mean, and I agree, he should not be using that word at all.
Yeah, is this another example of why white people should never use the N-word? I know it's in songs and black people use it as a term of endearment, blah, blah, blah. Whatever reason folks use to justify it, but just don't. Like, just don't use the word.
Now, another clip that he addressed was a video where he's calling a black neighborhood Planet of the Apes. He said it was around the time that he watched that film, and he said it was in an effort to make his story entertaining. Here's what he said.
There's a clip from 11 years ago. I was telling a story in the podcast about how me and my friend Tommy and his girlfriend, we got really high. We were in Philadelphia, and we went to go see Planet of the Apes, and we got dropped off in this all-black neighborhood. And I was trying to make the story entertaining. And I said, we got out and it was like we were in Africa. It's like we were in Planet of the Apes. I did not, nor would I ever say that black people are apes. And I immediately afterwards said, that's a racist thing to say. I was just saying there's a lot of black people there. But then I went on to talk about what a positive experience it was and how much fun it was to go to see this movie in a black neighborhood.
All right, so for context, here is the actual audio of the Planet of the Apes conversation in the black neighborhood.
He takes us there. We get out, and we're giggling. Ooh, we're going to go see Planet of the Apes. We walk into Planet of the Apes. We walked into Africa, dude. We walked in the door, and there was no white people. There was no white people. Planet of the Apes didn't take place in Africa. That was a racist thing for me to say. But you see what I'm saying. Everybody was super cool. You know how people always complain that black people talk to the movie theater and talk to the screen? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But it's good.
It adds to the experience.
You know, and like, so the way I felt, like, I'm like, look, I'm in their neighborhood. This is how they go to the movies. Who the fuck am I to be offended by how they like to go to the movies?
I think I'm saying that he walked into Planet of the Apes. I think that was the thing, right?
Well, I think they were saying that it was like he was in Planet of the Apes when he got dropped off in a black neighborhood. Then he acknowledged that what he said was racist.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you've been in this business long enough as a broadcaster, you said something stupid. You said something that would be deemed problematic at some point. But when those things come back up, what can you do?
You got to apologize and take accountability for those things. Now, Spotify is still standing by Joe Rogan. Daniel Ek, who is the CEO, addressed those comments. He said they were incredibly hurtful and inconsistent with company values, but he did not believe that silencing the podcaster was the answer. And so Joe Rogan has also vowed to do better when discussing matters related to the pandemic, because this is how this all started, too, by the way, because of him being irresponsible when it comes to dealing with COVID. And there was also that video compilation that Indy Irie posted of him using the N-word that was widely shared on social media that he even said sounded awful and horrible. So they did remove a number of episodes from Spotify. More than 100 episodes has been scrubbed from the podcaster's library. And so there's a website that tracks the show that shows that.
Like I always say, you can't tell folks what to be mad at. Like, just because your intent wasn't malicious or your intent wasn't to offend, we can't tell folks how to react to the words that come out of your mouth. So you just got to deal with whatever comes your way when you say what you want. But I do want to know, what do folks want to happen? Like, when these old sound bites come out, right, you know, he apologized for them. What do you want to happen? Because this isn't the first time and won't be the last time, you know, we hear a white person using the N-word in context, out of context, quoting rappers, quoting comedians, whatever it is. So what do you want to happen next?
With just Joe Rogan or in general?
Joe Rogan or just in general? Because this can happen to anybody at any given time if you've been in this business long enough. Broadcaster, rapper, comedian.
Like you said, you can't control how people react. So you work for a private company, they're going to make the decision ultimately on what they decide to do. So they pulled some of the episodes, but they're still standing by him. And I think,
as they should, because they knew all of this was before he even did the deal. So they knew that.
And then people have a right to be offended. I'm going to be honest, I've never listened to an episode of Joe Rogan ever.
I listen to Joe Rogan all the time.
I haven't, so it's hard for me to say an opinion on somebody who I've never...
Yeah,
and that's the other thing.
I don't listen to too many. I've listened a couple of times, but also I don't know him. You know what I mean? And the people that seem like they know him say he's not a racist. Say he's a good dude. So, I mean, what do you stand by?
I don't know him personally. I met him twice. You know what I mean? But I don't think he's racist. I've done his show. I met him at my man Andrew Schultz's wedding. I don't think he's a racist.
All right. Well, some people did get backlash for saying just that. Now, Andrew Yang wrote, "I don't think Joe Rogan is a racist. The man interacts with and works with black people literally all of the time. Do I know black friends of Joe's who would swear by him? Yes, I do."
Jesus Christ.
That's the "I got a black friend" exception.
I mean, so we can't say I don't know if somebody's racist or not. I just have no idea what goes on.
But can you
say racist things and not be racist?
But I do think it's wild that if you look at, like, Joe Rogan, and then you say, okay, well, they just scrubbed his old episodes. And
some
then
of them.
Somebody
not
like,
a lot. There's a lot of episodes.
Then you look at somebody like Whoopi Goldberg, who gets suspended for 2 weeks.
Hold on. You said something that's very important just now. Can you say racist things and not be racist? Depending, right? Because you can say a slur, right? You can say a gay slur and not be homophobic, be homo-ignorant.
Correct.
Because a lot of times when we used to use that gay slur back in the day, it wasn't in reference to somebody's sexuality, right?
That's true. That's
you
facts.
Know? So, yeah. You can sometimes these slurs come out of your mouth and it don't mean that you're that thing.
But let me ask you a question.
But Joe Rogan knew he couldn't use that word because he even said it's a unique word because one group of people can use it and another cannot.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was using it.
Yeah.
But he was using it anyway because I think that's why he said he had been discussing it.
What about, I'm just throwing things out there because I'm just using examples. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen things in entertainment. Like, we've seen, you know, Vince McMahon use it on WWE in a sketch. We've seen Larry David do it on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Howard Stern was, but that's a whole other thing. But yes, I mean, what's the logic there?
I'm just trying to figure out how somebody could use a gay slur, nothing happened to them, and then Whoopi could say something out of context and say something wrong, get corrected, and get suspended. She didn't say a slur.
To Yee's point, what'd you say about the company?
Mm-hmm, yeah, people have a decision.
That's right.
And you work for a private company, and they pay you, and they can make whatever decision they want to make based on their own analogy.
And that's why I say free speech is not free. There's a price to everything that comes out of your mouth, and you can't name that price.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm sure we'll discuss more.
Who are you giving your donkey to, man?
Four After the Hour was a person that could not name the price of mayonnaise. All right? You never know what mayonnaise can cost you.
Right.
I've been trying to tell y'all about mayonnaise for years on this damn radio. We'll talk about it Four After the Hour.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Our Audible pick of the day is The Perfect Day to Boss Up. This is Rick Ross's guide to building your own empire. Now listen up. Your first 30 days of Audible are free when you sign up at audible.com/breakfast.
WWPR-FM-HD1 New York.
An iHeartRadio station.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty fun.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Monday, February 7th goes to an Iowa man named Christopher Erlbacher. He's 29 years old of Woodbine, Iowa, and he was sentenced on Monday to a mandatory life sentence 2 months after he was convicted of first-degree murder. Now, what saddens me about this situation is this is yet another example of young boys not being able to settle their differences the old-fashioned way with their fists. Folks used to could just fight. Remember when folks could just fight and keep it moving?
Mm-hmm.
But that male ego is so fragile that some people just can't take that L when they lose that fist fight. By the way, I'm sitting here talking about the old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way stopped being the old-fashioned way in, like, the 90s. All right? Folks was running to grab guns when I was in high school.
2000s. You still fought in the 90s. 2000s was when they started grabbing hammers. Yeah.
Really?
I got my last fight in about 2000.
I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about people.
Right? You are not a person.
I'm not a person.
Jesus Christ.
I'll be a person. Right?
I think around the 90s is when the gun violence really started. At least for my age. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever. But Christopher and his friend Khalib were out eating and drinking, and Christopher overstepped his friend Khalib's boundaries. We've been talking a lot about boundaries. I told y'all 2022 is the year of the boundaries, okay? He, Christopher, overstepped his friend Khalib's boundaries by playing with his food. I don't like nobody playing with my food, okay? I had to tell my three-year-old daughter that yesterday. You don't walk up to people and just put your hand in their plate. All right, we don't practice. You don't do that, man. Even at three.
You go to Debo, she put your finger in your food?
Yeah, it came over me like Pac-Man, doing her mouth, and then like putting her hand in my, like, yo, baby, all right? I understand you're 3 years old, but we don't practice bad habits. That is a bad habit that can carry into adulthood, okay? You know how you got them adults right now that they can see you eating and they'll just reach for your plate? That's because nobody told them to stop doing that as a child when they were pretending to be Pac-Man. Standing over your plate, okay? And that's what happened between Christopher and Khalib. Would you like to know the details? Let's go to News 4 KTIV for the report, please.
28-year-old Christopher Erlbacher of Woodbine is charged with first-degree murder in the December 17, 2020 death of Caleb Solberg in Pisgah, Iowa. The incident centers around a physical altercation involving four people at the Old Home Cafe in Pisgah. Erlbacher and a friend, Sean Johnson, were feuding with two other men, Caleb Solberg and Craig Pryor. During the dispute, Erlbacher allegedly struck Pryor's vehicle and ran over Solberg several times, which authorities say caused fatal injuries to Solberg. Additionally, authorities say Erlbacher continued to drive by the body of Solberg, which hindered anyone from providing aid. Erlbacher eventually fled the scene and contacted his father for help. His father, though, took him back to the cafe where he was taken into custody.
And what the news report doesn't tell you is that the two friends were eating and drinking at a bar when Christopher decided to put mayonnaise on Solberg's food, okay? And Solberg was not happy with the mayonnaise being added, so he reacted by punching Erlbacher, okay? That damn mayonnaise. Your Uncle Charlotte has been warning you about mayonnaise for years on this damn radio, okay? Dukes, Heinz, Hellman's, Kraft, all of it is the devil, all right?
Too much goddamn mayonnaise.
It is Satan's spread. And too much of it ruins any and everything, okay? Too much mayonnaise in potato salad makes it not edible. Too much mayonnaise in tuna makes it not edible. That's why I refer to some white folks as human jars of Hellman's. That's not racist. It's science, all right? Too much of it just makes people sick. You have to have just enough with all the other ingredients makes the perfect dish, the perfect society, okay? This man, Khalib, would be alive today if Christopher hadn't forced mayonnaise on his food, if he hadn't violated his boundaries by trying to put mayonnaise on his friend's food. Now, what makes the situation so bad is Christopher was the aggressor from the beginning. Christopher attempted to force the mayonnaise on his food. All right. He violated his friend's boundaries. His man punched him. And instead of realizing, you know what, I was wrong, let me leave it alone, he let his what I assume would be liquor fueled ego call you to kill a man with your whip over Miracle Whip. Some donkey of the days just saw themselves. Please give Christopher Erlbacher the biggest hee-haw.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we come back, Kimberly Jones will be joining us.
Oh, my God. Kimberly Jones is just pure, pure energy. Please, we're not talking about the rapper either, by the way.
No, not Lil' Kim. Kimberly Jones, activist, author. She has a book, How We Can Win, and we're going to talk to her next. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Activist, author, Kimberly Jones. Welcome.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I was just saying behind the scenes, security downstairs, when we walked in this morning, was like, yo, you know Little Kim's coming. I'm like, it's not that Kimberly. But yes, Kimberly Jones will be joining us this morning. Do you get that? You ever get that?
I get that all the time.
Really?
All the time. That's why I use my middle name, because it's like, if you just put in Kimberly Jones, all you getting is the queen.
That's right.
That's it.
How you feeling this morning?
My grandma used to say, every day above ground is a good day.
That's right.
So I agree with that.
That's how I know you from down south. You from down south?
Chicago. Well, I'm from Chicago. But
that's down south.
Yeah, but I've lived in Atlanta now longer than I lived in Chicago. Okay. So I feel like, you know, I'm an ATLian now.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. You know, the book, How We Can Win, you know, and that book delves into the impact of systemic racism and lays out strategies for overcoming it. And I'm glad you're here this morning, because I was looking at the Brian Flores situation, you know, on CNN this morning. Yeah. And it just bothers me, because I hate seeing black people fight to be in spaces that we're only tolerated in.
Yeah, I don't want to be in any space where I'm tolerated. You know, besides being an author and activist, I'm also a filmmaker. And so the question that I always get from people is like, oh, do you want an Oscar? You want an Emmy or a Golden Globe? And I'm like, no, I won an NAACP Image Award. Right. When I got nominated for the Image Award for my book, it was like I cried. I rolled on the floor. I like, because I want to be in spaces where I'm celebrated. I want to be in spaces where when I show up, the gratitude for my presence is obvious by the way that I'm handled and treated. Mm. I don't want to be anywhere. I'm tired of begging for attention when we so fly.
Mm. Right.
Like, black people so cold-blooded fly. Like, we have been winning, and the playing field has not been leveled. It's been so unleveled, it's been damn near vertical.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should be celebrated for that. Can you imagine having to come through what we've had to come through and still being the greatest influence, not on this nation, but on the world?
Mm-hmm. Why, do you think, you know, we need separation or integration to properly overcome systemic racism?
I think that there's always a dual narrative that's happening, and I think that's the difficulty we're having, is addressing the dual narrative. I think there are some things that are owed to us through an integrated system, but I also think that there is some internal work that we have to do through a more segregated system, because at the end of the day, I want us to be insular and run our communities and circulate the black dollar amongst our communities. However, I'm still aware that living in this nation, we're still going to be governed by these laws.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot ignore them. And the laws are still the same laws that have been on the books since the black codes, many of
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still being affected by it. So unfortunately, we have to work in both spaces.
Let's talk about that. What can we do as a community? When we talk about unity and grouperation amongst each other, what can we do?
Right.
Like us.
Yes.
To overcome systemic racism.
Here's the first thing that I would say is that we have to recognize, like, we learned through Reaganomics that the trickle down effect does not work.
That's right.
Waiting on things to come from the top to hit the bottom is not something going to work. So we have to start at the root and work our way out. So I tell people all the time, they're like, how are you going to change the world? I'm like, I'm not. I'm going to change DeKalb County.
I'm gonna
change my county, and then hopefully by changing my county, I can give a blueprint to the next person to change their county. Like, I look at things like this. I really want us to get more savvy at civics, and I don't need everybody to get savvy at civics, but I need 20 strong people in each city to get savvy at civics. So we have, like, in Atlanta, we have MPUs, which are like the neighborhood groups. Well, people don't realize that those groups are the groups that are communicating with city council, with commissioners, with everybody about what's happening in that neighborhood. Well, those MPU groups get infiltrated by developers. Mm-hmm. So developers move into the neighborhood. Not only do they join the MPU, but they become the president of the mm-hmm. MPU, which means then their strategy is all centered around how they're going to develop in that neighborhood. So you can touch your city council. You can touch your commissioner. So we should be going to council and saying, hey, we want to make a rule about these MPUs that if you are developing in that community, you cannot be the president of the board.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that, because we can't just vote. First of all, and we've been talking about this, people not wanting to vote and feeling discouraged. But also, when you vote, you can vote, like you said, lobbying.
Yeah.
And not just voting, but also coming together and making these demands and making sure that your voices are heard and being present.
Being super present in your local election is where you actually have the power. I watched 7 teenage girls from a college campus in Georgia change a rape law with no money. Just grassroots lobbying. If you stand on the corner of Moreland and Memorial in Atlanta, if you stand on one side of that street, you're in Fulton County where marijuana is decriminalized. You're going to get a $50 citation. If you walk 5 steps across the street, you're in DeKalb and you're going to jail. That's how much your local elections matter. And you can put your hands, you know, not literally put your hands, but you can put your hands on your city council and talk to them about getting resolutions. Right now, we're working on a Rayshard Brooks bill that we're trying to get passed. This is where you can actually get work done, is at the local election. And this is where we show up the least.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we're all worried about the federal election where you do not have the lobbying dollars to impact that. And I'm going to tell you one thing. How we have to get savvy is, for example, these really bad voting bills that have passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking again, begging the federal government to pass a law. But let me tell you what conservatives did. They had one person write a bill, and then they took it to their state
mm-hmm.
rep,
mm-hmm.
and they got somebody to sponsor that bill and get it passed. And then their cronies in another state took that same bill, mm-hmm. adjusted it for that state's constitution, and got it passed there. When you're looking at these anti-woke bills that are going to stop people from teaching CRT, which for the record, CRT is not taught in schools, but that's another conversation. They are doing it state by state. And we're still looking at federal votes when it's like, no, we need to have combative bills and resolutions at the state level that are combating these bills. It's like you're punching up an air that you're not going to hit when all of your power and control is right around you.
I'm glad you said that, because, you know, last summer, what, it was 19 states that passed 36, you know, voter suppression bills.
Yep.
And I was like, why wasn't that being combated in each of those states?
Exactly. And we were fighting it in Georgia. And that's why we're now fighting it in court in Georgia, mm-hmm. because we understood both of those bills. HB 531, I stood out in front of the courthouse protesting that bill in the rain and sun for 30 days. HB 531 and SB 202, now we realize that there's unconstitutional pieces in it, probably because it was rewritten from another state and there were some constitutional misses, because every state has its own constitution. So now we realize we can fight it in court, which is what we're doing. I would encourage everybody, get savvy about your state. Get savvy about your county, because that's where your power lies.
Can we go a little bit deeper on that? Because even now, when you see President Biden get out there and speak out against voter suppression,
mm-hmm.
that's still a federal, he's speaking from a federal level.
Right.
He really can't impact what happens in those states. So that's why people think it's a PR move.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like he can't impact what happened in those states, but we can.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the trick, man. That was the coldest trick that was ever played, was to convince us that we didn't have power.
Mm.
If you convince a people to be hopeless and that they are powerless, then they will sit in that hopelessness and that powerlessness, and they will do nothing. But if we engage the people and teach them how to be powerful in their state. And the other thing is like, I'm looking at these younger kids. You got to meet people where they are, right? So it's like, you can't get upset because young people don't care about voting and then be like, oh, they don't get it, they don't care. I'm going to tell you what young people do care about: get into the bag.
Right.
So if I break it down to you how you can get government contracts and how this city council person has been in this seat for 30 years and all the contracts are going to their same friends, and if we run this young, exciting person against them and get them in the seat, and now you have this relationship, and I can show you how I can grow your business through government contracts, your ears gonna perk up.
That's right.
We got more with Kimberly Jones when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Kimberly Jones, activist and author of How We Can Win. Yee.
Now, another thing you talk about in the book is defund the police.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about your own experience with police brutality, which, by the way, was hard for me to read. So I can't even imagine what it was like for you to have to experience something like that. So do you think, or what do you think, let people know, could happen for the police to actually work better in our country, because it hasn't?
Well, I mean, policing is the grandchild of slave catching. And so the tenets of it has never changed since then. And even when you look around things as simply like, to me, George Zimmerman is a great example of that. And the reason that I say that is because when slave catching started, it basically deputized any white person to stop any black person at any given time and be like, what you doing? Mm-hmm. We were still being stopped by random folks with no authority asking them what you're doing. And so what you look at in the 60s and 70s was there was actually a transition and a change even in the uniform of the police officer that became more militarized. And so now what we really have is a military, a local military, as opposed to an actual policing system. Mm-hmm. And also you are having police calls being made for things that are not connected to criminality.
That's right.
Like
mental health issues.
Yeah, mental health issues, child truancy. things that don't require a person with a gun and a badge to do it. Also, even when you look at the recruiting videos for police, it's not the nice, friendly police officer of the 1950s getting the cat out of the tree. It's somebody jumping over a car thinking they want to be Rambo, like, join the police forces, you know, live your best life. It's like, really? Is that what we're doing? We're trying to have a militarized system against the people. Policing is supposed to be about public safety. We have neglected public safety and really created an attack on the people.
Can you break down what defund the police is?
Simple people hate. Some people really twist that phrase.
Yeah, language. I guess that's why I'm a writer. I'm just like, language is such a like a delicious little morsel that can also be a very, very awful little demon, because what it does is it allows people to live in a lie. Because defund the police is not about, oh, we don't need public safety. We don't need any police. We can police ourselves. What it's saying is that we need the reallocations of funds to things that actually make sense. For example, it takes you longer to get a cosmetology license than it does to become a police officer. Mm-hmm. What kind of training is that? I am better equipped to handle chemicals and get somebody's do right than I am to actually walk around with a gun and have the authority to actually potentially kill someone. So we don't have proper training for the police. We are not having consistent mental health checks for our police officers. Right. And they are handling things that they should not be handling. So we need to remove things like child truancy, mental health issues, even some domestic issues from them, and insert psychologists and people like that who can work under the banner of the police, but those funds will be reallocated to that group. Defund the police is not about let's get rid of public safety. It's about let's actually rethink the way and reimagine the way in which policing interacts with the people. And I think we should also do things like, in order for you to police a community, you need to live in it. Because if I look at a teenage Envy and I live up the street from him, and I know that him climbing over the back fence is just him being a knucklehead, I'm going to handle him completely differently in that moment if I just see a child that I don't know and I have this preconceived notion of black kids being pit bulls.
Yeah, you see Envy, like, that's that little Dominican boy, Envy.
Yeah, he don't mean no problem. He don't mean no harm. Yeah. He just, you get up, and then you could just holler, Envy, get off of there.
I feel like they should have to do community service, too, like, in the community that they're in. So every time you have an interaction, it's not because something happened, it's something aggressive. It can be a community service effort where you're there with people and you're doing something positive.
And if you harm the community, you should lose your pension. Because at the end of the day, if I fire you, but the same community that you're brutalized is gonna have to pay you for life, that's some bull. That's crazy.
Your young Dolph's cousin.
Yeah.
How close cousin?
So here's the crazy thing about how me and Dolph found out we were cousins. So I have a movie that I produced that's on Tubi called Products of the American Ghetto. And Dolph was on the soundtrack with Ugly Money Nietzsche. He was P. Nice then. And so I was producing the music video for that. And so as we were producing the video, me and Dolph standing outside smoking and gets to talking. And he asked me where I was from. And I said, I was from Chicago. And he said, I'm from Chicago. I said, no, you're not. You're from Memphis. And he was like, yeah, but I was born in Chicago. You know, I have all this family in Chicago. So me and him get to talking and going back and forth. And we start making a connection and realizing, like, oh, no, all jokes aside, we might, like, actually be cousins. And he was like, yeah. So he called some people in his family. I called some people in my family. And we're, like, distant cousins. I think we're, like, you know, like, fourth down the line or whatever. But we realized that we were cousins. And the funny thing about it is, like, we didn't stay in a whole lot of touch, but whenever we would see each other, it would be love. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What up, cousin? But I'm actually, like, had more relationship with his life partner, Mia. And the crazy thing is, I know Mia from the front lines. Mia is an activist. People don't realize, like, black men deserve to grow old. She started that a year before Dolph was killed because of the death of her brother. All this time I knew Mia, I never made the connection she was Dolph's girlfriend.
Wow.
So then when Dolph passed, she had reached out to me back in July and was like, Kim, I really need you on Black Men Deserve to Grow Old. And my mother had just passed. So I was like, oh, Mia, right now, sis, thank you. But yeah, so I was like, you know, sis, I right now I'm taking a break because I lost my brother a few months before that. And then I lost my mom just a few months after losing my older brother. And so when Dolph passed, That's when I made the connection that that was his Mia. Right.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my God. So this past Saturday, me and my dear friend Char Bates, we started a project called the Melanated Mural Project. And we are doing them once a month where we're doing old school block parties, DJs. We had DJ Greg Street out there, DJs, food trucks, life-size games. We did this last one at the skate park. So kids came out and skated the park and we unveiled our first mural, which was Dolph's mural. And we had several city council people come out and do proclamations to make it Young Dolph Day. And Mia was there and she gave a beautiful speech. And we're going to do that every month. We actually, our next one coming up is for young kid Leighton, who was a 12-year-old sweet boy who was killed by state troopers. But we are going to honor slain black men every month through the Melanated Art Project.
Man, Kimberly, tell them where to find you, Kim.
Follow me on Fanbase.
Hey, salute to my guy, Isaac the Third.
I'm on Fanbase as Kimberly Latrice Jones. You can follow me on them other social apps, but I ain't shouting out nothing but Fanbase.
All right.
Hey, okay. Listen, man, this is Charlamagne talking, man. Please go out there and get How We Can Win, Race History and the Money Games That's Rigged by Kimberly Jones. Go to Amazon right now. By this afternoon, I want to see this number one bestseller.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Kimberly Jones, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey. Salute to everybody that saw Euphoria last night. I don't want to spoil it, but we're not acknowledging how much Spider-Man has taught Rue. Okay? Rue looked like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man last night.
Pass after him, man. That's my Valentine's Day gift to you, brother. It came a little early. I just want you to have that.
Take it. I don't even want to know.
Take it. Look.
Somebody sent something for you?
Nah, you got that.
And speaking of Euphoria, while you guys play around with each other, Euphoria has been renewed for another season.
Take that.
Euphoria is phenomenal. Literally last night,
season 3,
Rue looked like Spider-Man scaling through the neighborhood. Only thing she didn't have was webs.
You're not going to take my gift?
What is it?
Let me hold it. Let me see this.
Yeah, take it.
Look what he got me.
For Valentine's Day already, you couldn't hold
it? What does that say?
Auto-blow?
Auto-blow.
What does it say?
It's for oral sex. It's the best.
Okay. Thank you, Envy.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate you.
Uses artificial intelligence to give the perfect oral.
It's the thought that counts. I think that black men who don't cheat, these are good gifts to be sharing with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Got you, bro.
That's right. Thank you, King. I appreciate that.
Use it in good health.
That's right. What do you mean, use it in good health?
I don't know. That's what people say.
What the hell does health got to do with this?
That's what they say. When they use it in good health.
What does this mean?
All right. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to the room.
You think that could take your place?
So I need the Oculans? I need the Octagons?
Oculus.
What's they called?
Oculus.
I need this for this?
No.
Oh.
But you can.
No, that's cheating.
But it has different, it has full stroke, intense, fast, teasing, slow.
This is a family show.
You know what?
Get in the blow, auto blow.
Get in the blow, auto blow.
All right, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Kanye West.
Oh, Lord.
Rumor report, rumor report. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Kanye is not happy that his daughter North is on TikTok, and he's saying all kinds of things. He says, since this is my first divorce, I need to know what I should do about my daughter being put on TikTok against my will. Now, Kim Kardashian got a little fed up, and she posted, Kanye's constant attacks on me in interviews and on social media is actually more hurtful than any TikTok North might create. As the person who is the main provider and caregiver for our children, I'm doing my best to protect our daughter while also allowing her to express her creativity in the medium that she wishes with adult supervision because it brings her happiness. Divorce is difficult enough on our children, and Kanye's obsession with trying to control and manipulate our situation so negatively and publicly is only causing further pain for all. She did say she wishes to handle all matters regarding our children privately. Now, Kanye responded, what do you mean by main provider? America, so you tried to kidnap my daughter on her birthday by not providing the address. You put security on me inside of the house to play with my son, then accused me of stealing. I had to take a drug test after Chicago's party because you accused me of being on drugs. Tracy Romulus, stop manipulating Kim to be this way. Then he posted the rules for TikTok. And to let people know, to sign up for TikTok, you must first pass through an age gate to get you into the right TikTok experience. In the U.S., if you're under 13 years old, you'll be placed into our TikTok for younger users experience, which has additional privacy and safety precautions. Then he posted, I want to bring my kids to my hometown of Chicago to see my basketball team play for 7,000 people. And Kim is stopping that. How is that joint custody? And he also posted, there's a lot going on here, guys.
I see.
He also posted a conversation that he had, a text message conversation with one of Kim's cousins, where, you know, she said, "Hi, how are you? Hope all is well with you and the kids. I saw your post on Instagram about TikTok and your daughter. I'm happy to share what I know about that. Since I'm a single mom and want to keep my kids off the internet, call me or let me know if you want some information. Hope to see you all soon." And then she also said, "Is it safe to buy Yeezys on StockX? Andrew wants to believe this."
I like that. That was
she
multitasking.
Slid that in.
I think she wanted to ask him about that, and she had every she had every plan to ask him about that on that day, mm-hmm. but then all this other stuff got in the way of it. But look,
she's like, "Let me reach out.
My man needs Yeezys. My son needs Yeezys.
I need the belugas.
Got to do whatever I got to do." Now Kanye posted this and said, "This is an example of Kim's cousin agreeing with me about TikTok," then proceeded to ask me for some Yeezys afterwards.
And she asked Slick too. I'm gonna tell you she asked Slick, because she said, "Is it safe to buy them on StockX?" Because she wanted him to say,
"Don't worry,
don't buy them on StockX. I'll send them to you."
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Niggas.
And then he also goes on to say, "Yesterday, Kim accused me of putting a hit out on her, so let me get this straight. I beg to go to my daughter's party, and I'm accused of being on drugs. Then I go play with my son, and I take my Akira graphic novels, and I'm accused of stealing. Now I'm being accused of putting a hit on her. These ideas can actually get someone locked up. They play like that with black men's lives. Whether it's getting them free or getting them locked up, I'm not playing about my black children anymore." Okay, and then he also posted him asking Larry Jackson for Kim's number. He said, "Send me Kim's number," and then Larry Jackson responded, "Here you go," and he sent the contact through.
Only thing I don't like about Kanye is he's black when he's down, but when he's up, slavery was a choice. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whenever there's some type of struggle or something's not going his way, that's when he becomes a black man. But when he's up, you know, slavery was a choice, and Harriet Tubman didn't free the slaves. Mm-hmm. And we need to move past race.
Now, next up, he also did scrub some of his posts about Kim and the kids. And then you can see there's video circulating that shows all four of his children hanging out with him at some sort of church service in L.A. And so apparently he did get a chance to see them. And he does still have his girlfriend, Julia Fox, who does have her Forbidden Fruits podcast. And so there was also news saying that Julia Fox used to date Drake. And she explains what happened on her newest episode of her podcast.
About Julia and Drake.
Uh-huh.
And I think Julia has some words for us.
Yeah. He's a great guy and a gentleman. And that was it. Nothing really happened. We were just like friends hanging out.
Mm. Now, she also...
Just like friends.
You can't say nothing about being black when you're dating somebody that goes, yeah.
Yeah, just like friends.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. When did Kim say Kanye put a hit on her? I missed that one. That happened?
I don't know. He's saying that. Maybe it happened privately.
I didn't hear that one either.
And how do you accuse the mother of your child of kidnapping?
I don't know.
I thought he wanted to get back with her.
But that's just because she was having a birthday party.
How's that kidnapping, though?
It's not, really.
Oh, okay.
But, you know. All right. Now, Kylie Jenner, congratulations to her and Travis Scott. They have welcomed their second child together.
Nice.
2/2/22. So.
A boy, right?
Oh, that's a good
yes,
date.
Yes, a boy.
Congrats to them.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. And prayers up to Tyrese, by the way. He revealed his mother is in the ICU. And he did say in the middle of filming he got the worst phone call he's ever gotten. He had to ask the director for a pause. His mother is in a coma in ICU with pneumonia, and she caught COVID. So prayers up to Tyrese's mother. I'm sure that's a difficult time for him.
Absolutely.
Sending healing energy to my man Tyrese and his mom.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, sending healing energy to Kanye West, too, man. Lord, he needs it.
Mm-hmm. Now, gonna send healing energy to the cousin that's trying to get the belugas?
No, she's short. Sending healing energy to Kim and the family, too.
That was kind of disrespectful in the midst of all this drama. Like,
not really, though.
Yes, it is.
I'm gonna tell you why, because she's like, "Oh, you want a little information, huh?"
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you want that number?
You want the number?
I'll give you a little bit.
I'll give you the number, but is it safe to buy shoes on StockX? Wink, wink.
I will say StockX does verify everything, right, Envy? We went through the whole verification process.
They do.
So they guarantee that they're real. So, yes, hon, it is safe to buy.
She didn't want that answer, though.
And she didn't give him the number because he said he got it from Larry Jackson. So she was like, "Oh, I don't get no Yeezys.
Oh, no belugas.
You don't get no number."
That's right.
What's the problem here? Sounds like an even exchange to me.
What a family. All right. People's Choice mixes up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
If you're a business owner, it can be tough to hire top talent. Woo. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, you get qualified candidates sent to you. Then you can easily invite your top choices to apply. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/breakfast now to try ZipRecruiter for
WWPR FM HD1 New York.
An iHeartRadio station.
Let me
Turn up the Breakfast Club. Up in your lifestyle.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the God.
You are rocking with the best.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. It's Black History Month. What we doing?
Listen, man, you know, every day on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network, we drop a daily podcast called I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either, hosted by my guy, B-Dot. And today, B-Dot is telling us the history of the dunking booth and how it was created. Let's listen.
I didn't know, maybe you didn't either.
What's happening? B-Dot here kicking it with the Black Effect podcast, and we are at the Magnolia House in Greensboro, North Carolina.
It's nice in here. We're in the Baldwin room.
In the late 1800s and as early as the 1950s, white folk would play a game at the fair called
Hit the Baby.
You can Google it. I'm not making this up. You would get to the fair. There would be a huge target. And in the bullseye,
an enslaved Negro would sacrifice his face.
And for $5, you would get 3 baseballs and you would try to knock that Negro's eyeballs out his sockets. After mutilations and numerous missing teeth, sometimes even death,
the white people of that time said, "Hey, this isn't safe at all." Translation being, when you're deforming my products at the fair, they don't come back working right.
So, what did the innovative white people of the times decide to do? They said, "Hey, bring over a barrel of water, and let's sit a Negro on top of it.
And you take those 3 baseballs, and you hit that target. When you do, the Negro, he'll fall into the water, and we'll get a good old kick out of it."
Thus inventing the dunking booth. How thoughtful.
I didn't know. Maybe you didn't either.
I didn't know.
I didn't know that. Maybe you didn't either. Make sure to subscribe to the I Didn't Know, Maybe You Didn't Either podcast. It drops daily on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network. B-Dot, thank you for that free jewelry, my brother.
All right. Keep it locked. We got the positive note at the Breakfast Club for more. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Yes, and happy Monday. I do want to shout out to some people in Turks and Caicos. First of all, happy birthday to Oki, who owns Captain Oak's Tiki Bar. If you ever have the privilege to go on vacation in Turks, it's such a beautiful place, but you got to check out Captain Oak's. And they also opened up another spot called Noah's Ark. So shout out to Michael Mizik, who opened the Noah's Ark. It's like these little bars in the middle of the ocean. So it's a really fun thing. So thank you to Jack Nasty, who took care of us while we were out there. I just had a nice weekend. I tried to relax, but I ended up doing a lot of work while I was there. But it was cool to have a little bit of time.
All right. Well, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
I do, man. The positive note is simply this. An unhealed person can find offense in pretty much anything someone does. A healed person understands that the actions of others has absolutely nothing to do with them. Each day, you get to decide which one you will be.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.